The gospel lesson today is from the 14th chapter of the Gospel of John, beginning at verse 1. Let us listen for the gospel of Christ. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And when I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. Henceforth you know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and we shall be satisfied. Jesus said to him, Have I been with you so long, and yet you do not know me, Philip? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, Show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Truly, truly I say to you, anyone who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these they will do, because I go to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, I will do it, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Amen. Just over a year ago, I had the opportunity to visit Israel and Palestine for the first time in my life. The opportunity arose because our daughter, Leah, was volunteering and living in the Palestinian city of Bethlehem. When I went to visit, I arrived at the airport in Tel Aviv and took a van that led me to Jerusalem, where she and I had agreed to meet up. Because I had been up all night, and in order to stave off the jet lag, we thought it a good idea to begin with a walking tour of Jerusalem. We went into the old city and walked around, led by a good tour guide, for about an hour. And as that tour came to a conclusion, she and I made our way to the most significant site in the old city of Jerusalem, which is the Western Wall, below which, in the days of Jesus, the temple resided. As we made our way to the access point, to the plaza, where you could enter into the approach the Western Wall, there was a sign posted, and it read in part, Dear visitors, you are approaching the holy site of the Western Wall, where the divine presence always rests. There is an ancient understanding in those words, an ancient Jewish belief that the principal place or the primary place where God dwelt when on earth was in the temple. It's what made the temple such a significant place in the Bible stories of Jesus in Jerusalem. And as the early Christian church began to address that understanding of where it was the divine presence was to be experienced, something became abundantly clear. By the second century, during the time of the writing of the Gospel of John, The Christian church was coming to terms with the idea that it must separate itself and break apart from Judaism. It wasn't a rejection of Judaism by any stretch of the imagination. Rather, it was an understanding that in addition to the covenant that God had made with Israel, in Jesus, God had now made a new covenant with all of humankind for all time. What was given to Israel was now being expanded upon. What Israel understood as divine presence, therefore, must also be expanded. The lesson that we read today was from the 14th chapter of the Gospel of John. And this question about where the divine presence is, or how it is God relates to you and I on earth, is addressed through a narrative. Jesus is with his disciples. And in the 13th chapter of the Gospel of John, we have found the disciples in a very dark and difficult time. The forces conspiring against Jesus are growing in numbers and in courage. In fact, at the very end of John chapter 13, Jesus has indicated the death by which he will die. And in the very last verse of John 13, tells Peter that he will deny him three times. But as chapter 14 opens, Jesus recognizes the fear and the anxiety that resides in his followers. And he offers them assurance. Do not let your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. And then he speaks of the dwelling place. Those of us who were raised with the King James Bible may recognize the term, "In my Father's house are many mansions." In the tradition of the Revised Standard Version, it says, "In my house are many rooms." In a lot of contemporary translations of the Bible, that phrase is now, "In my Father's house are many dwelling places." Many dwelling places. As Jesus begins to expand their understanding of where it is God may dwell in this life and in the life that is to come, the disciples understandably are confused. Philip in particular is confused in the passage that we read today. "Show us the Father," Philip asks, using a metaphor that was common to describe the God of Israel. And Jesus helps him gently understand how it is that Philip and the rest need to stop thinking about a difference or a separation, an apartness between the God of Israel and Jesus. Philip is told that he has seen the Father because he has seen Jesus. "The Father is in me, and I am in the Father. These are my Father's words. My words are my Father's words." Jesus helps them grow in their understanding that the divine presence isn't in a single location, but that the divine presence, in the words of that sign outside the Western Wall in Jerusalem today, that the divine presence is all around us. When we are going through fear and anxiety, we need more than just to be reassured, "Do not let your hearts be troubled." It's easy to say, it's a difficult thing to achieve. But we are able to do that if we recognize that the divine presence is not in a single location, but is all around us. I don't want to say even in these days, I want to say especially in these days. That the divine presence can be recognized and acknowledged in medical experts who are doing their best to lead us through this time of pandemic. The divine presence can be found in those who never thought they would need courage to go to work at the grocery store. The divine presence is found in that tireless pharmacist working behind the counter. The divine presence is evident in the people who are working in hospitals and places where the challenge of this moment is much more severe and much more dire than it is in our hometown. The divine presence is in everyone who is staying in, who is exercising restraint, who is limiting their movement, who is, in essence, going against their will to be outside and to be moving about, and choosing instead to sacrifice our mobility and our liberty for the sake of the well-being of everyone around us. Wherever sacrifice is made in the cause of love of neighbor, the divine presence is to be found. And in these days, my friend, that is almost everywhere you look. Amen. Let us unite our hearts and our minds together in prayer. Let us pray. Holy, life-giving, and everlasting Spirit, in the beginning you blessed the human family with unity and beauty and wonder. In your first children, you granted a glimpse of perfection. And even as we pulled away from your providence, you remain steadfast and faithful to your word. We give you thanks for meeting us with grace and granting us an Eden such as this earth in which to be your children. We thank you, tender and nurturing Spirit, that you create each of us unique from one another and yet commonly in your image. We thank you for the gifts you place in all of us and for the curiosity that seeks to discern these gifts. We look into one another's face and find you reflected there. We praise you for this reminder of your companionship. Almighty and loving, you are the way. We praise you for those who are leading us through this dark and difficult period in human history. We celebrate those among us with the skill and expertise to direct us on the path of healing and renewal. Almighty and loving, you are the truth. We thank you for those who hold fast to what is true and trusted. We pray with thanksgiving for those who are providing all the things your people need for the fulfillment of our living. We pray for their continued courage, service, and safety. Almighty and loving, you are the life, and through you we have found the wholeness and well-being you desire for us. So it is we open our hearts to hold in prayer your people who suffer and are ailing, your children who are afraid and anxious, your beloved who grieve and mourn. Eternal Father, you are our protector, and in you we trust. Bless us with a common commitment to hold fast to one another, and in so doing to find you in our midst. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who leads us to pray together when we say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Friends, go in peace. Be safe, be kind, and be hopeful. Amen.